Hello, my name is Vanessa Ballerly and I'm CEO of We Are Tech Women. I'm delighted to introduce She Talks Tech, which is a podcast which brings to life the personal experiences of women and men working in tech with a focus on diversity, equity and inclusion. We also include the odd technical topic to keep you abreast of innovating areas of tech that may be of interest to you. So this is a brand new season, season six, and we're delighted to focus on a number of incredible women looking at their career and sharing their top tips for success. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Christine Siriani. Christine is the CEO of EMEA at InvestCloud. She has a career successfully building businesses across Europe and Asia. She is also on the board of Barclays Private Bank Switzerland. Welcome, Christine.
It's a real pleasure to be with you today. As you said, my name is Christine Siriani. I'm the CEO of EMEA and InvestCloud at the WealthTech InvestCloud, which means my real job is to serve clients and colleagues in Europe. And InvestCloud is our privilege to serve. Personally, I'm a Chinese American and Swiss, born in California, living in Switzerland, and a mother of two boys.
So tell me a little bit about career path and how you ended up working in technology.
So I'm not sure it was even an option when I graduated from university to go into wealth tech and the definition of wealth tech and what we have today. So definitely I can't say this is where I thought I wanted to be. My career can be summarized maybe in three phases. I started my career at JP Morgan in investment and private banking, where I had the opportunity to work with exceptionally intelligent colleagues in the US and Europe and Asia. And I think JP Morgan really fostered a quite empowering and diverse culture, hiring very intelligent people from non-finance backgrounds, which is quite unusual at the time. And I learned that then you can achieve a great deal with hard work, focus on quality and a very just do it, you know, positive attitude, really coming from an American culture. And at the time, I think women role models as well in banking sort of blazed a path before me. Although JP Morgan did a great job investing in education and continuous learning and you know, female mentors at the time, mentors at the time were asking me to just to fit in, and many didn't choose motherhood, and you know, and banking was quite different, I'd say, in the 90s. After my MBA, I moved to consultancy, where I advised many wealth managers and operational efficiency and regulatory compliance and digital transformation. My last role as managing partner of a financial services company called Capco, where I established and ran the Swiss practice and had opportunity to put the flag in the ground in new offices like Singapore and lead their global wealth management practice as well. And that's where I learned that culture eats strategy for breakfast, and you should always approach everything with a beginner's mind. And at the time, I was one of the only actually female managing partners at the time and one of the only women partners, but learned how to sort of embrace diversity again, and also how to help wealth managers change and transform. And I think what I found was in the world of banking and the world of wealth management, traditional approaches to segmentation in an industry historically dominated by men have led to women being underserved. And we felt that using technology and data was a great way to start personalizing wealth and providing a much more an ability for wealth managers to have a greater impact. And so I was really pleased to join InvestCloud, really kind of passionate about how that combination of technology and intelligent use of data can both improve democratization of wealth and enable both personalized and secure advice and service.
That's really interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that has evolved?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe it's something I should have mentioned, right? For those of you who don't know InvestCloud, right? InvestCloud is a SaaS-based provider of digital wealth platforms for financial institutions. And we service small independent RIAs to some of the largest wealth managers and banks in the world. We're actually probably one of the biggest financial technology players that you may not have heard of. We support over 6 trillion assets on our platform, over 25 million customers on a single cloud-native platform. And I think, indeed, historically, advisors have really typically had to contend with lots of different systems that don't talk to each other, right? Financial services have grown over time by product, by segment, by region, and different drivers, regulatory drivers as well, have meant that banks have grown that you know, with point solutions from a technology perspective. InvestCloud, we join the dots in the financial system. We provide highly intuitive solutions across, you know, client communication, which is everything around client mobility, portal, CRM and onboarding, to financial planning and advice, and then the shopping and selling of those financial products. And I think what we see now is to be able to provide hyper-personalization, and hyper-personalization is really the future of wealth. And we do that with having a, you know, wide range of apps that can be configured very easily. The main challenge of achieving that is data, that banks actually have data distributed across these different systems, which grew in silos, which grew by department, which grew also by management structure. And if you're not able to connect those dots, and if you have data, but you can't categorize and sequence that data, you can't use that data intelligently to provide personalized advice to your client. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, wealth management at the end of the day is one of the industries that's still based and always has been based in trust. Yeah. Trust is increased by the amount of information you have. That information used to be very one-on-one and used to be how much information a bank had around both its clients and around the companies that they invested in. But you can use now technology to really harness that data, sequence that data, provide a financial DNA around your client, and then be able to provide very precise service and advice, but also democratize that as well.
So reflecting back on your own career, did you experience any challenges when, say, for example, you returned to work?
I was going to say, given this is She Talks Tech, right? I have to say, I think sometimes we underestimate the real challenges of being a mother. I think that was probably one of my biggest challenges in my life.
Yeah.
When I became pregnant with my first son, I just made partner in my previous firm. I was leading a strategic initiative for a bank. The MD at the bank, when I informed her I was pregnant, advised me with all honesty to not talk about it. And not to hang pictures of my children in the office when that happened, as others would not see me in the same way. And I wanted to prove to myself and everyone around me that being a mother would not impact my career. You know, I opened a new office in a new country, held a C-level dinner 3 weeks after giving birth. I was on conference calls, going to the hospital, and left the call saying, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Oh, naively. And it left me both mentally and physically exhausted. And I felt like, I don't know if you've read Anne-Marie Slater's Atlantic magazine piece, Why Women Still Can't Have It All, right? I really felt like women still can't have it all. I think one life lesson I probably learned from it is when I was younger, I was a big Franklin Covey fan as a student. That was back in the day when you had the physical books and every Monday you wrote down your objectives one by one, and it set your intention for your day and it set intention for the week. Yeah. And I realized from a individual perspective, I wanted to be very intentional. And so I asked myself, what kind of person do I want to be? When I became a manager and a leader in my company, I asked what kind of leader I want to be. But I never asked myself what kind of wife I want to be. And I never asked myself, what kind of mother do I want to be? And I realized when I asked myself those questions, I started to prioritize motherhood and other aspects of my life in parallel to my career. And in many ways, by denying the fact that I had to prioritize that, by almost pretending that I could do it all and it was, you know, don't worry, nothing has changed, when actually many things has changed, that I suddenly realized that one, my priorities shifted. Two, I was much more deliberate about that. And three, I realized that I could ask for help. And it wasn't just me trying to take that on, because it does take a village. And I think anyone who goes through motherhood realizes that it takes a village. It takes a whole, you know, and to be able to be a mother and continue a career, no one has done that on their own.
I think it's really interesting that when you're younger, you think, you know, starting a family won't change you. And, you know, I've heard that so many times. Oh, you know, it just works. The baby will just fit in and it'll all be fine. And you don't often realize that actually your whole life is thrown up in the air because this little person has arrived, you know, and the lack of sleep. Let's not even talk about the lack of sleep. So you're a very different person than kind of what you was prior to having your baby.
I hear now many young women now saying they don't want children because they want a career. And I find that very disheartening, after women paved the path for me and demonstrated that they, what they can achieve, that now, you know, years and decades later, this is what the next generation is taking from it, which is saying, well, actually, I'm going to choose my career over choosing being a mother. And I think that if we're deliberate about what kind of role we want to be, it does take prioritization. It does take asking for help. It does mean that you might need to, you know, share activities in your personal, professional life, but it is possible.
So do you think the richness of family life has an impact on how you are as a leader?
Absolutely. I think that both in terms of being much more empathetic as an individual and understanding, it's really important for us, one, to foster an environment of understanding and not already prejudging what it will like it to be in a certain situation. I had prejudged my own self around how I thought individuals would perceive me. And in the end, taking decisions both for myself, but also being conscious about what that meant for individuals around me, I think is a lesson that makes you a stronger individual, and makes you more focused as an individual, and makes you more deliberate as an individual. And I think that is beneficial for us in the workforce as well.
So I think we're both in agreement that women are very much a minority in the tech industry. So with all the things we've just talked about, challenges and all, what can we do to readdress that balance? How do we actually get more women to the top of organizations?
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, what's interesting is I think having role models is quite important. And what's interesting is already during my studies, women were a minority in selecting both finance and technology. In fact, I completed my studies at Claremont McKenna, which was less than 30% women at the time. And I was the first female student body president. I remember meeting the president of the university at the time. He looked at me and he said, woman president. And in fact, finding environments that are inclusive and supportive and looking at and identifying role models is quite important. In InvestCloud, we're actually quite unusual in this respect. We have many women in senior leadership positions for being a wealth tech and a fintech. Having an environment that really has diversity at its core, I think is quite important. And I think that I go back to being deliberate. I think that we as an industry and we find companies much more, the outcomes are much stronger when we embrace diversity. I think companies have to be intentional and proactive. You know, InvestCloud not only has many women leaders, but intentionally a lot from Los Angeles because we want to bring expertise from different fields, right? Advertising, entertainment, government, design, which helps because finance historically wasn't very diverse. And we have this philosophy of global reach with local perspective and 20 offices globally, but hiring people from different countries and backgrounds, and it fosters a diversity of ideas, but it's deliberate. Yeah. I think having worked in very diverse environments, it doesn't make it easier. I think that actually it does make it in some ways more difficult because we do need to then take that time to listen to each other and not go on our unconscious biases when we enter a room. But the outcome is much more rich. Companies benefit from that diversity of thought and perspectives. And maybe the last element is I do think that tangible change has to happen at a societal level. I think we do need to ask the question, and gender pay reporting in the UK has really helped shed light on the issue and incentivize companies to change their practices. So I don't think it will change what happened by osmosis. I do think it needs to happen through reporting and transparency and regulation.
So we talked about mentoring, which we know is very important in terms of shared experiences and things like that. But there's also this issue around women helping other women as well. Talk to me a little bit about your mentoring experiences and how perhaps you've experienced some of that.
I think it was Sheryl Sandberg who wrote, "We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us, you know, women who had to fight for the rights that we now take for granted." I think that we learn from others around us. I think that I've had many mentors that I didn't know they were mentors, if I want to be honest, and some whose relationships I've actively cultivated. I mean, I think my mother is the one who always told me, surround myself with people who are better than you and take the time and consideration to develop those relationships with people you admire. And so some I've sought out, that I even waited outside of conference rooms to meet idols or to meet role models or senior managers who I felt were individuals that I wanted to learn from. I have learned from, I think it's a fallacy that mentors need to be more senior than you. I have mentors who've been more junior than me as well. Different walks of life. They don't need to come just from your immediate career, but individuals who may have learned something outside of our immediate, you know, technology and finance industry. They learned something from being an athlete, and they learned something from other walks of life. And this goes back to having diversity. And I think that, you know, it's also important to be a mentor.
I agree with you. It's very important to be a mentor. And obviously, when other people see you mentoring, that's kind of, you know, they're looking up to these leaders and saying, actually, that's the same sort of thing that I should be doing as well.
So absolutely. I think that you create your environment and you foster the environment that continues to evolve around you. You know, I do try to actively take part of being a mentor in communities that are continually evolving because they challenge you and they bring you up. You know, I'm a mentor for F10, which is an incubator, but also a board member of Pasteur Institute in Switzerland, which is focusing on health and medical innovation. Why? Because there's a lot of technology change in health and medical innovation, and we can understand how what we use on financial DNA, right, is as how actually technology is being used to drive health and advancement in medicine as well. And I think that I definitely seek out and try to support female founders as well, because I believe that female founders also have an additional challenge when they go through certain phases in their life and the various roles that they play. And I think those ecosystems are quite important.
So what piece of advice would you give to somebody that wants to accelerate their career in the fintech world?
I think it's a really exciting time to be in fintech. I think it really is the next generation. As we see the advancement of digital cloud, you know, cloud native technologies like InvestCloud, but the ability to harness data much more intelligently and to use that for the advancement, not only of the companies we work for, but I'd say the wider ecosystem, really have an impact on our, you know, society. Wealth continues to grow. It's one of the segments that does continue to grow, but financial literacy and using technology to help that financial literacy and financial education is really possible now and at the forefront of being able to support some of the internet generational wealth transfer and to really impact various demographics around the world. So I do think it's a really exciting time. I would say don't let your internal obstacles hold you back is my advice to any young women joining the space. I think sometimes we let ourselves hold ourselves back. And I do think we need more women to enter the wealth management and wealth tech space to advance better access to financial advice for women, which, by the way, there are more women who are running wealth in households, and there will be a greater percentage in the next 30 years, and to seek out female mentors and role models. And I think that word digital empathy, especially as a mother, where you learn and you think the ability to be able to treat people as individuals and not as a Starbucks coffee, I think is quite powerful.
Thank you, Christine. It's been really lovely speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Christine, I cannot thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Christine, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please do subscribe and rate the podcast and give us that all-important 5-star review. And keep tuned to our channel for new episodes of She Talks Tech.